Springbok Radio proudly presents Tales from the Seven Seas. Stories specially written for this series by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen, and introduced by Hamish McLeod.
Take it for granted that spirits and tobacco and a variety of goods brought into the country from abroad will be taxed by the customs and excise. In years gone by, however, men didn't necessarily accept this form of control. No, indeed. And in England, in the 18th and 19th centuries, smuggling was considered by the common folk to be a daring, exciting occupation. It had an aura of glamour about it. Cornwall, in particular, became famous for its daredevil smugglers who would cross the Channel and return with cargoes of French brandy. But although the smugglers carried out the practical side of the operation, they were far from being alone in the enterprise, for quite often whole villages would be involved. And if there were those who wanted no part in the landing of illicit brandy, they knew it was wiser and healthier to maintain a discreet silence about the whole affair. An informer could expect rough justice from the gentleman, as the smugglers came to be called. The man who heard nothing and saw nothing lived longer. In the words of Rudyard Kipling, "Them that asks no question isn't told a lie. Watch the wall, my darling, while the gentlemen go by." I call tonight's story, The Gentleman.
There she be, the lantern in Warren Greenlee's window.
Aye, the most friendly light this side of the channel.
We're nearly home, lads. Good night's work.
Aye. With a calm sea and a following breeze. It was a pleasure trip, no less.
Right, young lady. Get the sail stowed.
Right.
John, put the rollocks in and get the oars ready.
Benjamin! Benjamin, there's something amiss back there.
Amiss? What's amiss?
The kegs. Some of them are coming loose. At least, the rope has become undone.
Coming loose, you see?
Aye.
When Benjamin Trevelyan ties a knot, it stays tied. The raft of kegs was my doing. It floated all the way from France. Why should the knots unravel now? John, take the tiller.
Aye.
Now, show me that. Show me.
Aye.
If you're playing tricks, I'll boot your backside till it's blue.
There. See there, Benjamin? Huh? The kegs are still held. The length of rope is loose. Trail in the water.
So it is. You've keen eyes, Billy.
Aye.
Benjamin?
Don't like the feel of this, lads.
Is that trouble?
There will be. What I'm thinking is right. Billy.
Aye?
Jump onto the raft, lad. Take a good look at that rope with your sharp eyes.
Aye, Benjamin. What have I to look for?
See if it's frayed or cut or...
I'll jump from the rail. Give me an under.
And I'll kick you over, lad, if you don't hurry. Look lively. Look lively.
Right.
Where, Billy?
It's been cut.
Cut? Go, sir.
Benjamin! There's someone swimming in the water! Swimming away!
And push him back! Quickly!
I've got him, Benjamin!
Good lad!
I had a knock him senseless. He's trying to drill me! Try to pull me under!
John, haul him aboard! Whoever he may be, let's have a look at our watery visitor!
Who is he? I didn't see him properly with all the struggling.
Scaffrey? It's Collie, the shoemaker.
Oh, an odd place to mend shoes.
Quiet, Billy, quiet.
Oh.
Matthew Collie. He's not a man to go swimming in the dark of night for the pleasure of it.
He's coming round, Benjamin.
Aye. John, give him a hand. Give him a hand. Well, Matthew Curly, and what have you to say to me, eh? What have you to say?
Nothing, Benjamin Trevelyan.
What were you doing out there? Swimming at this time of night, huh?
The sea is no personal possession of yours. I'll swim in it if I please.
Oh, will you now? We'll have to see about that, won't we, lad?
You threaten me, Benjamin Trevelyan. I know what you are.
Came with a knife in your belt, Charlie, and tried to cut the roof binding the brandy kegs. Time did well, too. I see that for you. Nice and close to shore. Wouldn't be too difficult for you to float in a couple of casks for yourself, eh?
I'm saying nothing.
Sniveling little thief, you. Try and steal our brandy, will you?
Take the thief to no one, Trevelyan.
You mean she weasel? I'm no thief. The cargo was paid for in France.
Aye, and the customs tariff. Will that be paid for in England? No. So you're a thief. And there's no crime to steal from a thief.
Hold your tongue, Mr. Barrett. John, bind him fast until we've landed the cargo.
Excitement on us.
Benjamin, all the ponies are mounted.
Good. Let them set off then.
What about Matthew Connie? He's still tied up on the boat.
We haven't forgotten him. We'll deal with him when the cargo's on its way.
Right.
Billy, you stay with me.
Right, Benjamin.
More than enough looking after the brandy. You and me, Billy, we'll tend to Matthew Connie. Let's get back to the boat. With the mainsail, Billy. And we're cast off.
We've gone out again?
That we are. There's still a goodly breeze. On a long tack, we can cover a fair distance and be back before you know it.
But why are we sailing at all, Benjamin?
Why? I'll tell you why, Billy. Since Mr. Connie here is fond of a swim in the middle of the night, we'll oblige him. Once we get a fair way out to sea, we'll unloosen his bonds, throw him overboard, and let him find his own way home.
I see. I will give it.
For Benjamin Trevelyan and John Hart.
Our widow fits and you grow more voluptuous by the day. John,
hey.
Why should we drink anything else when Widow Picton's at the best of all England?
Oh, Dad.
Keep a smile on your face, Benjamin. As if I'm commenting on your remarks. You too, John.
Right. Well, that's a good one, Widow Picton. A good one.
A stranger sitting right down. I saw him earlier talking to Shoemaker Carter.
He spoke with the stranger.
He told me he was a deaf man seeking fine work here. But I proved the lawyer that. He knows nothing of Devon, unless the farming. You better laugh at Game of Fury.
You'll do that, that for me, would you, Pickman?
Not I, John Vine, but the stranger might. I feel you pick the farming.
An excise man?
I'm almost sure of it.
You may have put him on his guard with your questions.
No, I pretended I'm not of them. And I asked the questions with care. When he spoke of farming, I was never let him know I was born and bred to it until I married.
Good. And he was speaking with Collie, you see.
Aye. I best go now and fetch your ear.
Another hearty laugh, John.
Benjamin, that stranger is an exciseman. What about him? Is he to see him for Thursday night?
See if he shall. hard to believe that any man in the village would turn informer on us.
Aye, the collie will be eager for revenge. After his long swim the other week.
He was caught red-handed trying to steal from us. And his punishment was a light one. He knows that. And he knows what the village thinks of informers and what happens to them.
Yeah, we'd better make arrangements to land at a different point. Just to be safe.
That'll be bloody if we will. We'll land where we always land. And if any sniveling excitement demands dues on my French wine and brandy, I'll chop his ears off.
Benjamin Trevelyan's indignation at the very thought of having to pay customs duty was, as far as he was concerned, a righteous emotion. For this was the year 1749, and as I mentioned earlier, men had their own views on customs and excise. And Benjamin's doubts that Matthew Colley would turn informer were also well-founded. The rule of the smugglers and their supporters was death for a traitor. There was no question of an appeal for mercy either. But be that as it may, the little boat set sail at the appointed hour and reached its destination on the French coast without incident. It was on their return journey that John Varney began to voice his growing uneasiness.
Another trip under our belts, Johnny. Won't be very long before we see the lights of Morwen Greenley's cottage once again.
Aye, Innes, that as worries me.
Worries you? Because there is a friendly light? That don't make sense.
Well, it do to me. We should have changed the landing place, like I advised.
What for? The cove is a nigh perfect beach for landing, and it's well secluded. What more can a man ask for?
Yeah, less foolhardiness and more discretion. That's what I want. Neither more nor less.
Well, that's all. Have you suddenly taken my leadership upon your own shoulders, John Varney?
No, I have not. But the more I consider what Widow Picton told us, the more I'm sure that shoemaker has turned informer.
And if he has, the sooner we find proof of it, the better.
Matthew Colley, turned informer.
Oh, it was a suspicion Widow Picton voiced to Benjamin and me. He was seen with a stranger.
In the village?
Aye, where did you think you had a lad? Seen with a man who claimed to be a Devon farmer, but who knew nothing of either Devon or farming.
You think he might be an exciseman?
More than likely he is. He wouldn't get a word out of the villagers. They keep their faces to the wall when the gentlemen are abroad. What they haven't seen, they can't answer questions of.
And Matthew Colley, his face wasn't to the wall when he came swimming out to try and thieve our brandy.
To prove a man a thief is not to prove him a traitor. But if the exciseman is waiting for us at the cove, then we'll know who to blame, won't we?
Aye, we will, Benjamin.
A fine consolation that'll be to us when we're ambushed and shot, lying dead on the sand.
Are you turning a shady yeller, Johnny?
No man says that of me, Benjamin Trevelyan. Now, which it'll be? Knife or pistols?
Oh, save them both for the moment. We might need them before this night is out. I've no quarrel with you, John.
Aye, but I have with you. You call me a coward.
Don't be a darn fool, John. It was a jest.
What?
It makes you happier. I apologize and humbly beg your gracious pardon.
Never mind.
Benjamin, if you think we might land in the middle of a trap, why don't we change the landing place as John suggested?
If Collie is an informer, then the rest of the village must see it for themselves. His blood will be on all hands, not just ours.
But how will the rest see it when they're all careful to keep well out of the way when the cargoes land?
Aye, normally they are. But I told Widow Picton to spread the whisper around. This is one night, lads, when eyes won't be turned to the wall. This is one night when the villagers will watch the gentleman land.
Now, listen, you've got it right. For the missing moon, not tonight. If there is, it will be a sorry thing for us. I repeat to me what you have to do quickly now and keep your voice down.
I'm to go to each cottage and tap three times on the window.
And what else?
That's all, isn't it? Just three taps.
Aye, but what then?
Then I'm to only back here and tell you it's done.
Aye, lad, you do. Now, off with you.
Aye, we get it.
There's a fox among the fowls. and he needs watching.
Look, here's the boat. Didn't I tell you? Here they come.
You're right. There's no mistaking it. Thank heaven for the moonlight.
And the reward is mine. Don't forget that.
The reward is yours. You've earned it. But I wish we had a few more men to give and. However, since there's only the two of us it'll have to be.
Two of us? Not two. I give you the information, I show you their boat coming in. That's my part of the affair done with. We'll have no hand in apprehending them. You're on your own now. Probably more than my life's worth to be here when they land. Good luck to you.
Stand where you are, Collie, or I'll put a pistol ball through your back. Stand, I say.
You can't force me to help you.
My pistol says otherwise.
You don't understand. If they find me here, they'll kill me. You'll tear me to pieces.
If you refuse to help me, I'll give them your name in any case.
What?
I mean business, Corrie. Stay and I'll see that you're protected from them.
How could you do that?
I have ways to intimidate them, just as they intimidate others.
I should never have done it.
It's too late to think of that now, Corrie.
Anger that made me do it. Anger at Benjamin Trevelyan and the way he treated me. I should never have told you. It was a mistake.
Be quiet. Get down, Collie. Beyond those rocks there. The boat's coming in. Down, men. We'll stay hidden here until the craft is beached and they've started unloading. Otherwise, they might see us and try to put out to sea again.
They'll kill me for this. They'll kill me.
Another word from you, Collie, and I'll save them the trouble.
There was an air of suspense and expectancy as the smugglers skillfully beached the craft. They were aware, of course, of the possibility that at any moment the tenacious excisemen, or for all they knew, a group of excisemen, would challenge them. Nevertheless, they began to unload their illegal spirits. Benjamin Trevelyan's eyes peered anxiously into the night, not only for a sight of the ambushers, but also for some evidence that Widow Picton had done as he had asked. It was clear to him and the other smugglers that one way or another, the night was not likely to end peacefully.
Move until I tell you, unless you fancy a pistol ball in your guts.
I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have done it.
It's almost time we had a sight of it.
Yes, the time is now. Hold!
Look out!
Stay where you are, all of you. Now, if you submit quietly for us to seize the goods, we will behave civilly with you, and it will go better for you later on.
Right, Cully.
Good people of the village, show yourselves.
Hey, what the devil?
Take a good look, everyone.
Oh.
It's Matthew Cully, the shoemaker. Turned informer. Informer. Dirty informer.
Get out of here, you guy, Collie. We know. Here, that's it for your trouble.
May kill you, but they will not dare arm an official of His Majesty's government.
Listen to me! Submit now, and it will stand to you good later. Do not be foolish! The excisement for these informers! A coin pair!
Down behind the rocks. Take a pistol and shoot anyone who comes near. That'll dampen their fervor. And be thankful for the moonlight. Our targets are clearly seen. Someone leading a pony away.
Don't shoot! It'll be one of the young lads. Get the animal to safety in case of trouble.
Take him the brandy away. That's what he's doing. And young or old is none of my business. He's close enough now. Got him. They'll see I mean business if I have to kill them all one by one. Yeah, give me your pistol. It's primed and ready. And reload mine.
I told you that'd be one of the young lads. And if you killed him, Heaven help us both.
They've killed Billy. Aye. Young Billy. They killed him.
Young Billy. Trevelyan won't forgive that. And only Benjamin Trevelyan can control these people. They'll obey him, whatever he says. Now you can expect as little mercy as me. If I'm an informer, you're worse. You're a murderer who shot a young lad in the back.
And the next one of them who tries anything will be dealt with in the same way.
Silence! Silence, all of you! They thought only to pinpoint a traitor. But now, a foul murder's been done. And whichever of the two fired the shot, whether it was Carrie or his friend, both are responsible. Murder's been done. An informer has been trapped. And the gentlemen demand justice!
Yes.
Justice! Justice! Justice!
My wrist. A stone. I think it's broken my wrist. My fist line.
We're done for! We're done for!
What are you doing? Get down! Get down, man!
No! I haven't had no beat. You tricked me. Be a stone or a pistol ball. Anything! I don't want him to get your hands on me!
Gruesome end to the night of smuggling. The excise man and the shoemaker were battered to death by the enraged mob. Of course, it was not the end of the story, for such an outburst of deadly violence did not go unpunished. The ringleaders, including Benjamin Trevelyan, were brought to trial and hanged at Newgate, though John Varley was not brought to justice. No, for he was struck on the head by a stone during the rioting, and he died beside the kegs of brandy which had been responsible for the whole disastrous business.
You've been listening to Tales from the Seven Seas, written by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen. Listen next week at the same time to another enthralling story of the sea, produced by Andre Bottner.